Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the corner where the troops
at. Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to
the man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and chill, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
And we're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the rest of the NBA season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE50. That's BLEAV50 to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm here with our host, former tight end Jason Dunn and former cornerback Eric Warfield. How you fellas doing?
What's going on?
Good. Happy birthday, my man. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Marcus. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, 28, man. 28, Dom. Yeah, still a young buck.
Glory days.
Yeah. Give me 28 all over again. Give me 28. Two. I'm only a couple years from that, but yeah, give me 28.
Yeah, no, just blessed another year of health, and you know, yeah, that's one thing with COVID last year. You know, can't really ask for more than that. You know, just my health and my youth, and yeah, you know, and all my loved ones are still here. So you know, it's been a blessed year, and hopefully for another one. So hopefully 28 is another one of those.
I like it.
Okay, so lots to get into with our Chiefs. Kind of a, you know, wire to wire domination on Sunday in certain aspects, but we're going to get into all that. So first concern of the night in the highly anticipated AFC West showdown this past Sunday, the Chiefs came out victorious, extending our win streak to 5, which is the second highest in the league behind the Patriots, tied with the Dolphins with 5, but also extending Andy Reid's post bye week record of 20-3 following the bye. What were your takeaways in this 22-9 victory?
I mean, I'm happy with the win, no matter how we got it. I know there's chatter about offense not being able to score in crucial moments, not being able to take advantage of turnovers and short field possessions. I don't think Patrick has thrown a touchdown in a while. His whatever struggles he's going through, I think we'll be okay. I think the team as a whole is starting to look better. And I think people are more focused on what the offense isn't doing as opposed to what the team is doing, and that's winning games. And that's really all we care about. I don't want to sit here and point fingers at each additional little things to say, oh, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. As I think the coaches will be able to fix that. And as we've learned over time, the closer we get to playoff time of the year, our team plays better. You know, colder weather, I don't know if it's just the colder weather or what, but it seems to bring out the best in our overall team, because right now the defense is playing a lot better. You know, offense is kind of struggling at times with little things. But, again, to say the overall picture, I'm happy with it all.
So my assessment of the game, like I was saying, you know, happy with the win. It is a tremendous job, you know, having the Broncos come in and whooping them on our field. And that's something that we had to do. My takeaway from it as far as what I've seen offensively, a lot of drop passes. A lot of drop passes, stalled drives, kind of shooting yourself in the foot. And I think that we just need to do some things more to get these things going. It's, you know, it's a rhythm. It's a rhythm that I didn't quite see offensively. Like when we started the game out, started out well. But, kind of in the game as it went on, kind of got away from some of the things that we was doing, I guess, the first series.
So you're an offensive guy.
Yeah.
I was always told defensively that the first 15, 20 plays scripted, no matter what. They got to be scripted, right?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
You do. I mean, but you could deviate from it, especially on situation.
Sure. I get that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it almost seems like to me, when we're scripted, we're on point. We make those plays. Then when it comes down to adjustments from up top to down low, things change. It's the same way with the Cowboys game. We start out the touchdown. After that, we get away from those 15, 20 plays. Mm-hmm. We don't have anything else. Everything with the Cowboys game was all field goals from there. Kind of like with the Raiders, I think, even though it was kind of a blowout, just things just kind of snowballed with the Raiders game. But the first couple of plays, it was on point. But you can't really take into account with the Raiders game how it happened. And then it comes to the Broncos, and we get the same thing. First drive, look good. A few of our games this year have been that way. Like the scripted plays, we're perfect, on point. And when we get away from the scripted plays, we kind of struggle. Is that kind of how – I mean, offensively, that's
– Like I said, you could deviate from your plan from the first 15, right? First 15 is just kind of like a base about what it is that you want to attack them with and what you see that they're giving you. And I see your point, because that makes a lot of sense. But the thing is, if you study the team, which I know they're doing a great job of it, and as good of an offensive mind Andy and Bienemy and those guys are as a staff, then you should almost have like really the whole game scripted somewhat. Like you already know, like in your play card, that you got this number of plays, right, for every situation, every down. And so you already know from up top, third and six, we're going to run these 15 plays, right? Third and 15 are long. Third and long, we're going to run these 15. And so you just going through each of them, and they're talking it to each other too, like, what do you like? What do you see? What is the defense giving you? And so I think a part of it is, like you said, it's when you're scripting them, it looks like it should work. Everything should work, right? Until, like, you get stopped. But then all of a sudden, what ends up happening, I see that it's like we have, like, this identity crisis. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we can't get away from who we are. And so when teams kind of dare you to be who you always been, like, running, throwing the football, they dare you to run. And so when you were seeing them, when they was running on first down, they was getting yards. And – you weren't really getting yards when you start passing it. What ends up happening if you don't get that first catch on that first down, then you got to throw it on second down. And so we always get that. We never run it on second down. This past game, I looked at it. I didn't really see us running on second down after we passed it the first time. At least to me, it didn't come up. And so I think sometimes what we do is we kind of get in the hole. We feel like we need to go ahead and catch up. And so that second quarter, we stalled out with two series, I think, three plays and four plays, or vice versa, one like that. And the thing was, the first run was the four plays was a run for the first down. The next three plays, passes. It's the same thing. When you come back, it was like the end of the half is the next time we got the ball back. And it was run predictable, right? Because you're trying to burn the clock out. So we're not attacking the defense. Now we're just trying to play like, hey, let's run the clock out. But no, attack them. Throw some other things. Don't be predictable. And then next thing we throw like a screen. And it was like, we're better than that. We're better than that as far as like with the offense, with the weapons we got around us. I think they just got to do a much better job as far as like calling the plays. I mean, seriously, I that's the way I look at it, because it just seems to me that, the situation, we just getting caught in. And we shouldn't be getting caught with our pants down against these defenses like that, especially with these two brilliant minds that's calling these plays. Really, it shouldn't happen. Let me finish the point that, like, as far as defense wise, also too, what I've seen, man, we played an incredible game defensively. I think they did a tremendous job, keeping the guys at bay. Gave up a lot of yards on the ground, but you know the thing is, man, he got some good running backs, so we knew that was going to be part of the game. And you know, you could see the difference between a team that runs the football, who's going to stick with it. You know what I'm saying? They're going to trunch with it, and that's what they did. They just was like, look, let's go ahead and just keep running and see how we come about with it. And so
you talk about Denver, though, right?
Denver. So that's what Denver did. You know, so should we see that this Monday night? You know, Matt Jones throw two balls, and we're gonna run it all day, And the thing is, the weather's getting colder. With the drop passes and stuff that we've seen, what are you gonna do? Ball's gonna get harder. So overall, though, it's a win, and I'll take it all day. And I don't really worry too much about the offense, man, because like I said, those guys with the personnel that you have, the brilliant minds that you got on that side. I don't really worry about it as much. You know, I'm a blocking tight end. To me, shoot, run the football.
Yeah, and what 14 carries for Hilaire and 5 carries for Darrell Williams. I mean, I feel like he could give a little more carries to CH and try to get him going. I mean, 14 carries. I feel like it's not enough to get going. You know what I mean?
Right. And most of those at the end of the game. So
yeah.
Yeah, and I think the thing is. Even with most teams, and the Monday night, Patriots Bills game, we can't really just, base a game off of what they were endured with, because they had weather inclements that it was hard to pass in. Most teams, when you run it and you only gain 2 or 3 yards, and then you come up with a short pass, incomplete pass on second. Now you're kind of behind the eight ball when you're third and long. So I think that's the thing that hurts us and a lot of other teams, that when you don't have that dominant run game that can get you a positive, 5+ yards on that first down. Now, the thing I kind of posted on Twitter was that the thing that stood out to me mostly with our offensive line, you can see it that they love to run block, but that's not what our team is designed to do. We're a pass first team, and rightfully so, because of our quarterback and our, tight end and receiver. We're a pass first team, but you have to establish a run in order to continue to be successful with that pass. Okay. Now, with the downhill blocking that those guys do, they look great. Not good. They look great. Mm-hmm. But that's not what they're put together for. You have to pass block majority of the game, and at times you do what you love best, and that's trying to maul the guy in front of you with our offensive line. And I think they love the running game more, but again, you have to cater to what you do best or you have done best, and that's what we are, as a pass happy team. But I think our offensive line loves to block, run block.
100%, and I agree with you. Those guys, if you ask those guys in the room, if you prefer to do something, they will tell you all day, we love just laying on guys, mauling them, and just kicking their butts right out, the line of scrimmage. And so I would say, that our offensive line is not as good pass blocking as they are running the football, as run blocking. There's no question about it. And so when I'm looking at Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Thuney, those big guys up front. I mean, when you're watching them move and create holes up the middle, I mean, it's stark. It's a stark comparison. It's like when you sit there and you watch them when they had to sit back and in pass protection. Because big guys, same thing like Orlando Brown on the side, man, he's not that good against, a speed rusher. He'll get guys, but, that's not his forte. A speed rusher come on the edge, man, is tough. It's tough
for him.
He's a bigger guy, man, and so when you click your heels, it's just you got to get out. You got to get out of your stance to cover those guys, and it's going to be tough, especially with our drop that we do. But I agree with you 100%. And the reason I brought up, Monday night is because, to me, it's saying that the offense, they didn't mind going to that. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't mind saying, we can make that transition to become a running team if we have to. We need to run. Look, Belichick, we need to run it this many times. We were running it this many times. And so us, even though we are a pass happy team first, we have to do a much better job saying, like, listen, we need to understand that this, the run in the football, okay, because we don't even know we have a good running game or not. We, you know, because we ain't never really tried to establish it. That's the problem. That's the problem with us. And so I think that, you know, if you want to go.
But like, also to that, JD, we haven't had that type of a running back with us yet either. You know,
we got them. CEH, Darren Williams are good enough running backs that we could run the ball with them. And that we could see that they get yards. We've seen that. And we know we got an offensive line that will block. And so
I'm not discrediting CEH. Now, in your honest opinion, do you think he could be a 100-yard back every game?
I think the combination of them both, absolutely. No doubt about it.
Okay. So, but what I'm trying to get at is every down back that can get you a 100-yard game. I don't think he's that type of a back.
But you don't need him to be. Like, so my thing is when you have two guys that have two skill sets, then you let them both get a push, right? It's almost like, you know, and I'm just going to comparison, like when Alvin Kamara was kind of coming on, like Mark Ingram was doing stuff. And they was doing like it's just that mix of that change of pace that you want to see to give the defense a different look. And I think if you give CEH, you could give him, you know, 10 to 15 carries, and then give Darren Williams another 10. You could give him 10. And so when you had that, and then of course, like I said, out levers the defense with a couple of reverse runs or whatever you want to do. I think you could really truly mix in probably about 20 plays of running the football effectively. And I think it would take that to really make the defense play honest. Let me put it that way. And so where they're not just teeing off, where you know, okay, second down, they're going to pass. Third down, they're going to pass, right? And so when you know that going into the game, defensively, you know how y'all go over the meetings. Y'all like, look, this is their tendency. This is what they're going to do. They're going to pass it on first down. Matter of fact, if we stop them on first down passing, we know they're going to throw it on the second down too. Right? So
okay. Me as a cornerback.
Yeah.
I go back to my safety plan days. Me as a safety. Me coming down to fill a hole. If it's CEH, if it's Williams, McKinnon, or the running backs that we have, I wouldn't be afraid to not say I would be afraid. I would take those guys up high.
Okay.
I'm gonna challenge them.
Yeah.
For me to go against them boys out there in New England, or to go up against, Zeke, some of these backs that are 100-yard, like power backs.
Yeah.
I'm going for knees and lower.
Okay.
So you kind of get what I'm saying?
Right. I get it.
When you get in one of those muscle matches, you know, in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
I feel confident that our offensive line can handle whatever line that comes at them. I just don't feel confident in the running backs to get that extra push that we need or to break that tackle, or if they get hit to get extra yardage after contact. We don't have that big back. Williams is not even that big back for us. Right. Yeah, they're both different, but we don't have that extra yardage after contact type of back.
Well, here's what I'm looking at offensively. This is the way I look at it, okay? And every offensive coach will tell you this. I don't need for you to break a 50 or 40 yarder. You know what I'm saying? I just need
you,
you know, 4 to 7 yards on each carry. And if CEH, who's a smaller back who can hide between those big guys, you know, and kind of get through the holes, that's it. That's all I need for him to do. And the thing is, what it does is it helps increase our drive rate and our plays. That's what we need to do. We need to increase like our drives, you know, and carry, keep a drive going. And so we had these stallers where we only having the ball for a minute. It was second quarter. We had two series. We had a minute, the ball a minute apiece. That's crazy. I mean, we can't do anything offensively trying to establish it like that. And so what I'm saying is, look, CEH, guess what? If a safety comes down here, I'm going to at least make you play honestly. I'm going to make you respect it. I'm going to make you come down here and make this tackle. So if Trey Smith and him are getting to the second level, that's all I want him to do. That's it. As a blocker, let me get to the second level. Let me get CEH and him 4 to 5 yards. So that at least that puts you in second and third down and short. I don't want to make it third and 10 or third and 15. I don't want to see those things. And so what ends up happening is we have to feel like, okay, well, now we got to throw a screen or we got to do something else. And, you know, and right now, to be honest with you, teams don't have that threat that we're going to run the football. They don't. They dare us to run. And they, you know what? They're going to keep daring us to run until we decide we're going to do it. Until we decide.
I agree 100%. Right. But that's how we get to me. That's where our success in the running game comes, because we are such a pass-happy team to where we can throw those run plays in when they're not expecting it, and we get those nice chunks. But that's what makes us look good. So I even thought about, like, what you mentioned, I think it was last week. I think you mentioned, said that he reminds you of Sproles and some of the other smaller backs, you know.
Charlie Garner, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those guys were based off of fullbacks and a stretch run, though, mm-hmm. giving you more gaps. We don't give you those stretch run. We like downhill. That we don't. I don't see a lot of stretch plays of you know, trying to open a gap. It's mostly downhill stuff with our offense in the running game,
which we should be. Even if
we don't use a fullback though.
But we don't need to. A tight end's just a fullback. That ain't no different. So when he's running H-back, we got two tight ends in the game, almost three sometimes. And so you basically just move him into fullback. I mean, it's literally what it is. So even if he's lined up on the line of scrimmage, it doesn't matter where he lines up. It's still the scheme of on the blocking. You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense. So it's like, regardless of where you put him, he's still going to end up here where the fullback is. So it doesn't matter where he starts, where he finishes, and where he comes in, because you'll see that in like a lot of crossing blocks, cut blocks and whatnot, when you run counters and everything else, halfback traps, you can still do all those things like it with a tight end. And we actually do. What I just don't understand is when we have it, we just don't utilize it. We just don't run it. We don't run it enough, man. We just don't. That, you know, that's the reality of it, man. We just don't run the football enough to be a threat, seriously, in the running game. And teams know it. So. And that's why we stall out. We stall out on series, you know, trying to create a drive. And we can't – it's a drive staller. Because we get, you know, you pass it and you drop it. Or you pass it and it's incomplete. It's no good.
Yeah, I mean, you say we don't run it enough. I just looked up a few stats on him. So last year, before he got hurt, he was amongst top five in yards after contact, CEH was. Before he got hurt last year, was that Saints game? We had that weird like hamstring injury. It looked awful. But he's only had three games where he's had 20 plus carries, and of those three games, both were 100 yard games. So against Houston, 25 for 138 last year, and then against Buffalo, 26 for 161. And then
I take back my words. Then
and then against Baltimore, he had 20 for 64. So those are the only three times he's gotten 20 plus carries. So
I don't know, E, what you thinking, man? You don't think he bolo enough? What's the deal? I don't know. Come on,
CJ. I don't know, man. It's just my perception of what I see when I watch the games. Like, can he be that guy? I don't know. I hope he can. You know, he's one of us. He's one of ours.
Yeah.
Does he stand out like the top five running backs? No, he doesn't. It's just, you know, I just like you're hoping that Gordon's gonna make a splash one day. I guess my thoughts on my hope is a CEH to, but he's been wonderful for what we use him for.
Right.
I guess I like the big backs and how they, you know, either hit a gap and you're out for 50 yards, or right. You hit a gap and you're running somebody over. You got somebody trying to take your knees out because they're scared to hit you up high. So that's just kind of like, I guess, my expectations of what the top backs look like. And like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm not a fan of CJ, because that's definitely not it. I definitely love what he's doing for the team. I guess my expectations were just a little bit higher than what he's been doing so far.
Well, he's playing bigger than what you're giving me. He's playing bigger than what he's giving you, E.
True. Yeah, I take my words. I eat my words. I take it back.
That, you know what though, that right there, Marcus, that stat in itself tells me that it can get done, especially with this offensive line, because we got the guys up front to get it done, to run it. And so we seen in the game when he did run, you know, he got, you know, first down. It was 11 yards, 7 yards here, seven. And then all of a sudden it was done. And here's the thing though, you can sneak and play action and run him out the backfield, you know, until a route, to the flat, or just, you know, run a, you know, halfback option. You run him on a quarter route if you want to. There's a lot of different things you can do with that. The thing is though, you know, for defenses to absolutely, you know, respect what you're doing, especially in a running game, you got to run the football. And those guys up front, I guarantee in that room, the offensive line room, them jokers is wondering, how can we not run the football enough? I know offensive linemen, they like to eat. They don't like sitting back there on their cleats. They like putting their cleats in the ground, you know, and coming off the football.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the one thing that we've talked about on the show before is that his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. That was one of his big things coming out of LSU, and we're starting to see that a little more since he's returned from his injury this time around. I think he had that one screen where he took like 15 yards on Sunday. So, yeah. Like, we're starting to utilize that more, and I think that between him and Darrell Williams, I think those are our second and third best receivers on the team. I mean, I think Darrell Williams is a phenom catching
the ball. I agree with you. No doubt. And look, and I see it. See, you know, when I'm looking at this and I'm evaluating how the reaction of like the linebackers come when we try to do play action, they ain't coming up enough. They're not getting sucked down. And so what it tells me is they're not biting on this because they don't have to. They'll take one or two steps, it's gone. And so you ain't fooling nobody, you know. So that's how I see it. And I want to make sure if it's a good fake, and you ready, these guys are gonna be sucked in coming up. And then they turn around, you know, to go. Like you said, I want to see somebody's name on their back. I want to see that.
Yeah. You know,
that's a good fate.
I will say in regards to what he was saying, you know, attacking a running back by their legs, Javonte Williams, I think he's going to be a stud from Denver. He looked really good.
Looked good.
Yeah.
That was his first game. He wasn't, you know, spelled by Melvin Gordon, which it was.
You know, the bad thing about that team, about that game, as good as he was running the ball, when you're down like that, it doesn't matter how good he's running. You have to throw the ball to try to get yourself caught up. That's the sad thing about like watching basketball when you're like playing against Golden State. Your team can be on, like hitting all the layups, hitting all the jump shots. And yet Golden State is steady dumping these threes down your throat. You got to find a way to try to keep up. And so you got to try to shoot threes.
Yeah.
And that's what forces so many teams to lose against a team like that. Because you have to pass, even though your running back is sitting there just, you know, eating chunks every time he's touching the ball. You're falling behind the eight ball because you're still, you know, losing in points. So that's the sad thing about that whole Denver team when they played against us. Dude was a man amongst kids out there with us. We could not tackle him.
Yeah, he's breaking but, back. Yeah.
But they're losing, so they got to find a way. They got to pass the ball.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think they ever even ran it enough, though. I mean, to get in that position, and they just ran it all game. So I think there was points in that game where they had a 20 play drive, but they got no.
Yeah, he had almost 200 yards total himself.
Yeah. You know, bridge over troubled waters. You know.
The next concern was mainly about the offense, which we kind of got into here. But I do want to ask this question. And we've talked on the show, number two receiver needs to step up. We need to run the ball a little more. And this is the week that JD's been proclaiming that Josh Gordon will step up. And so JD, you're still doubling down on that.
Week 14. Said it, right? I said it. So we'll see. You know, he might just catch two. Two is going to be better than what he's done all season. So
that's true. That's true.
Right. So, hey, man, look, we got to start somewhere.
Man, they can throw him a screen out there and, you know, and let him do something with it. Do something. Yeah. Get the dude involved.
The man's he's 225, probably 230, okay? Like you said, I love that thought process. Give him a screen. Give him a quick screen. Line up in the slot, throw him a quick screen, okay? Just something. Okay. Get him going.
But my question is, what if it's more of the same we see this Sunday from Josh Gordon? What do you say about the Josh Gordon acquisition at that point?
You know what, man? Here's the reality. And I said this. This man hasn't had no offseason. He hadn't had training camp. He hasn't had OTAs. He hadn't had any of those things. And so some of the timing of like getting alert to learn the guy and getting these things, he didn't really have, he didn't have any of that. That's the reality of it. And so I don't think that with a guy like this, this is something that you have him here. Hopefully this will be his home. This is the way I look at it. Hopefully be his home and you build on it. Keep him here. I think he's a guy that you keep on your team, you know, just because of his skill set. That's where I look at it. Because when I'm looking around the league and I'm looking at guys who have played, who's a lot older than he is, who are still doing it. You know what I mean? And so we went on abandoning the guy. But like I said, if we can get him just two balls this week, just two.
It won't happen that way, JD. So the thing is, this is a professional sport. You know, a small percentage have this opportunity. It's on Josh Gordon for him to be in shape by the time they bring him in, by the time they go see him. It's not up to the Chiefs to get him in shape. It's up to Josh because they're giving him an opportunity to get back, to get his career back online. So if he's not in shape by the time they go look at him, then he sold himself short. Yes, learning the game book, a playbook, and getting game acclimated is different. I don't think it takes this long. My thing is there's something right now, what I would do, first play, run trips. Three receivers over here, one over here. Put Kelce and Tariq Hill over there. You know the whole defense is going to shift that way. Put Josh one-on-one. That's going to leave you over there with the corner by yourself. Throw him a fade route. See what happens. Because you know all the attention is going to be over with Tariq Hill and Travis Kelce.
Right.
See what he does.
I look at it like this, and I disagree with you. I do believe it takes that long. I think it takes long to get acclimated. I think he came in shape. I'm not saying he didn't come in shape.
Right now, neither one of us can say what does, because we've never.
No. They said, look. I'm just going by
what we don't know anybody that's looking at the position.
Look, I'm saying that this is what's coming out of the camp. This is coming from the Chiefs. It's coming from everybody in there. The man came in shape. Okay, I know some people in camp. The man came into shape. The problem is, and if we're sitting there talking about the offense right now, that we can't even get our own receivers that's been there at the ball. You know, we're still stalling out. So the last we're trying to do is trying to get Josh Gordon, which I think he might be part of the answer. He might be part of the answer. And that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, look, if we need a guy to step up, okay, and we've seen guys drop the football, our two top receivers are phenomenal. I mean, they just killing it on every level. They really are, right? But the thing is also, too, I think I've seen a stat where we also lead in, like, drop passes, okay? That's the reality of it. But like you said, it's the same thing like with Curry. You know, if you're a ball thrower, you catch footballs, you keep shooting, right? You keep throwing. You keep catching. You don't stop just because these guys may drop one here and there. You keep playing. You keep playing. And so the other guys around them has to be dynamic. They got to step their game up. That's the way I look at it. You got to step your game up. And so I don't care if it's Josh Gordon, Pringle, Hardman, Robinson, all these guys in the room, bring your game up. Because we can't just rely on Kelce and them all the time. I know we have to.
We've gone through that scenario every week. You know, it's a matter of where we are now and what we can do going forward. So I just think that we got to find a way to – I don't care if we kick the ball to him. Let him receive a punt or a kickoff. Or let him kick the ball. You got to let the man touch the ball at some point. You know, I showed a stat right the other day. We watched an entire half, and he wasn't targeted. Not even looked at.
Wow. What do you think that? See, and I look at that. So my mindset is this. Part of it has to be trust. It has to be trust. And I don't know if it's just Patrick – has been, you know, relying on the other guys doing, you know, particular things in our offense. Like I said, man, it's a little guy's offense. It really is. If you look at how they run routes, it's like if the route ended there, they just look to get open. That's all it is. It's just look to get open because Patrick extends plays with his legs. Now it's like it's almost like a scramble drill every play almost. If a ball's not coming out of his hands within the 4 or 5 seconds, scramble drill, you know, get open, and that's what happens. So I don't know. Week 14. That's all I'm saying right now. Okay.
I mean, the promising thing was from what I saw was this was the least amount of snaps that Mecole Hardman got all season, which is obviously trending in the direction where, you know, Gordon staying on the field We saw Byron Pringle get a lot of targets this week, get two drops. And then Robinson, I didn't see Hardman a lot during the game, but then when I saw the snap count, it was as low as he's had all season. So obviously he's training in the right direction for Gordon to gain that trust. And plus, if we're talking about trust, we're seeing all these guys drop balls. At what point, maybe, you know, Mahomes is like, you know what, these guys are dropping balls, maybe I'll take my shot, chances with Gordon, give him a shot here. Well, I mean, hopefully. But last question on the offense. JD, when you went to the game, you saw on the sideline there was some, you know, a little ruckus going on with Bienemy and some of the guys. But then Sunday, I guess it was that horrible series that we had where Mahomes took a sack. And then he came to the sidelines. They showed him go to the sidelines, and he was kind of having words with Bienemy. We don't usually see that, Mahomes having words with Bienemy or anybody. It looked a little heated, but, you know, all coaches and players get into that. But
yeah, I was going to say that's every coach in and coordinator. It's going to happen. Yeah, we see a lot of it with Tom Brady when he's in New England. You know, we see it with every quarterback that's, you know, played position. It's going to happen.
I think guys are trying to push to get each other going. That's probably part of it. Patrick's probably sitting there saying the same thing. Like, come on, man. Like, you know, give me something I can work with. Please, give me something I can work with. Because right now, you know, they, like you said, they fussing at each other saying things. But, you know, the very next play, they sitting down like, hey, man, look, what do you think about this? Let's check about on this. Right, so it's like it's one of those things. As long as no real, truly disrespect, like it's emotions coming in because everybody wants to do well. And if I'm Patrick, give me the playbook so I think these plays are going to work. If I think I'm getting something that to me doesn't sound right, doesn't sound good, he's going to argue about it. He should. If the enemy saying, "Look, man, you missed this guy on this," he's going to fuss about it, and he should. So, I mean, y'all professionals here. And, you know, like I said, it's all about winning. And so if you're not pushing guys, you're not challenging each other to get better, do something better, then you're not going to be a very good football team. So I like it as long as, like I said, it didn't do anything to, you know, turn somebody off from, you know, being successful is the issue, right? So.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you guys, because I saw a lot of Chief fans share that video clip and, like, you know, oh, here we go. Offenses, you know, really struggling now. But, like, you know, you guys played the game. You guys seen that stuff. I mean, that's coaches and players, you know, getting after each other.
E, did you ever fuss at a coach?
Yeah.
Really? Like in each other's face. You know what I mean? Like when you was playing professionally. I'm not gonna say college, professionally, like get up here like in each other's face.
No, I never did it in college. I didn't. Oh, I never had any heated moments, but there was some moments of like disappointment, like, you know, what are we calling here? Like the defense isn't working. You know, there's a lot of games where I'm, you know, I have to question, like, why are we calling this defense? Like, it didn't work against that team. It's not going to work against this team. It didn't work that play, and we're still using it.
But you weren't verbal to the coach?
Oh, yeah.
Man, what?
Oh, yeah. I've had some run-ins with Peter, some run-ins with Greg. You know, you got to question the calls when the calls aren't working, you know, especially on defense, and or when you see a part of that defense that's struggling. You know, there's things that can help every struggling piece of a team. All the coaches know this. All the players know this. So if you see a piece of your defense that's struggling, you know how to get out of that and to find another defense to help with it. Now, yes. Certain players are going to get beat no matter what. Those are the guys getting paid just as much as you are, or the same amount. So it's a matter of, you know, trying to keep trying to minimize those plays. Mm-hmm. And that's what the help of the D coordinator, your position coach, to help you as an individual to learn and put yourself in a position to be successful. But yet there's times when you're going to get beat. It happens. It's going to happen.
JD, did you ever have anything like that?
With a coach? Not necessarily. Not with a coach. Never really fuss at. Like, you know, your position coach, you can say whatever pretty much. Yeah, because you have a good, relationship. So, you know that your position coach is on your team, more than likely he is, right? And so I never had any run-ins or anything like that with a coach. Never. Now, I can't say that I had. Now, in college, yes, but in professionally, no, not really. So,
but for folks at home, it's just not it's not out of the norm to see this kind of stuff.
I had a run in, but it wouldn't be on the field. Let me put it that way. It wouldn't be on the sideline. I just think that it shows kind of a bad taste a little bit, right? It's the optics. That's how I look at it. So,
yeah, but it works both ways, though, because – so say, for instance, I'm up there and I get a – you know, I run the wrong defense because I see the signal bad or I hear the call bad, mm-hmm. and yet, you know, I'm getting yelled at. So as a man with pride, I'm going to try to defend myself. You know, if I apologize and yet you sit there and continue yelling at me, okay, I'm going to defend myself by yelling back at you when I probably shouldn't, or we could have just settled this by saying, hey, a mistake was made. We move on.
Right. I guess I didn't really make that many mistakes, E. So.
That's why you had a longer career. Hey, you had a longer career.
No, look. If I'm out there and somebody's fussing at me, I'm like, look, you know I'm giving my all. Shoot. Yeah, I can remember. Now, practice or meeting room, oh, yeah, it done got heated. It was, you know, definitely. I got into it one time. I ain't going to say it. Just move on.
All right. Say goodbye to dull gifts. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the brightest gift of the year. Using cutting-edge technology and innovative techniques, they've cracked the science of sparkle, creating the highest quality lab-grown diamonds you can find at a light price, $800 per carat. They have the same chemical makeup of natural diamonds, but just are grown in a lab. Because of their process, they can create stones in blush pink and beautiful blue, as well as classic white. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the gift that they'll never want to take off, priced so they won't have to. They really do make any outfit sparkle. Visit lightboxjewelry.com to add sparkle to your holiday shopping. That's lightboxjewelry.com. Lightbox diamonds, never a dull moment. So next concern, obviously after the Monday night game, and I feel like the mainstream media was all about the Patriots anyway, so they could have lost that game Monday. Everyone would still be saying the Patriots are the favorite in the AFC. Obviously, it's a Chiefs show, but I just want to ask, as of right now, as what we've seen from our guys recently, who would you say is the favorite in the AFC right now?
I don't think that's a fair question, just because for one, I mean, every week our prediction is always going to be the Chiefs, so you know that we're going to be biased towards the Chiefs, and that's where our loyalty lies.
Right.
That's the truth, though. You think? I know our loyalty lies there, but. I mean, realistically, though, do you see any other team in the AFC?
So every week, when you're going into every week, even with those losses, did you ever think that next week we're going to lose?
No.
But did you ever think that we weren't – I won't look far and say we weren't going to make the playoffs. But looking into the next week when we were having so many down moments when it seemed like nothing could go right, mm-hmm. I never thought that there would be a time we would get things back on track, of which we ended up doing. So what I say that to say, I still think we're the favorite just because of what I know our offense can do. Even with the little struggles that we're having right now, even with these other teams playing the way that they're playing, New England outstanding, Mac Jones, what he's doing, the defense and offense of New England, I still take my Chiefs to go to the dance in L.A. to represent the AFC. Biased opinion. New England does look really good with a young quarterback, with a great running back, but running game. Outstanding defense. Outstanding coaching staff. It's hard to go against Bill Belichick and whatever he puts together. You know, last year was just a first year without Brady and dealing with a whole lot of scrutiny and whatever, a comparison, who's better with and without. But now it's like, I'm the guy. I'm going to show you what Belichick is. So, yeah, he is a great coach. There's no doubt about that. We can't say he isn't.
Right.
But if you ask me who's the better team in the AFC West right now, for me, I'm going to say my Chiefs.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say this. And I didn't have not one doubt. Even going through all the bumps and bruises we went through, I didn't have a doubt with us at all. I just knew we defensively, I knew we needed that one piece. I knew we needed a guy. I knew who it was going to be. I knew we needed to get a guy or a pass rusher or some type of thing, and we brought him in. So since Ingram's been here, he's been a game changer. And I knew, like, we had to go out and get that guy. We had to. And it was like, you know, when the thing's on your shoulders, you always just feel it, right? Everything's going to go bad. But it's the same thing, like, when I'm looking at New England, I don't think New England is – I think they're pretenders, to be honest with you. I mean, right now their record is what it is. But I think also, too, they kind of snuck on up on people. I don't think they're a better team than us, not in the slightest. Matter of fact, I think they're probably third or fourth best team in AFC. That's my honest opinion. And so, you know, when I look at, you know, the people they played and how they beat other teams, I think the Bills will beat them second time around. I do. And so I think maybe even what they got, maybe the Jets the next time. I think the Jets might be next time around. And so Belichick, look, he's a great coach. He is. But as far as me thinking that they're top in AFC, not even in the slightest. I think the odds are in our favor. What we have, we know what we got. We know what we got on offense, and it's been stalling out. But our defense, you know, was so promising to me is our defense has been playing stellar. Them jokers have been playing lights out football, which to me is like, that's what we need to see. And I said this, I texted Marcus this. Maybe he was on the feature when I said this. I said, we don't know how to play with the lead. All last year we was behind by like 14 to 21 points. And maybe sometimes that pressure about, look, we need to get this thing done is what we needed to spark guys up, right? You know, it's a mindset. It's a championship mindset. And sometimes we ahead, we get crazy because we don't know where we want to be. Because we always plan ahead. We're like, well, shoot, I don't know. We up by this money, you know, this many points. We ain't really run a 4-minute offense yet. We ain't never had to do that. All last year, we was always behind. And so the defense is playing where they're at right now. Now, offense is going to be clicking. Week 14, Josh and all these things going to the playoffs. I think we are definitely the team to beat, no doubt about it. I don't think nobody's even close enough to us. And people can say all they want to say about who they didn't have. We got these things done. Our defense has held the last five games under 20 points.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's incredible. They've been doing a tremendous job. So when guys keep playing like that, it's a team sport. We're gonna be all right. We're the team to beat.
Yeah. And I think being 8-4 and not having our offense completely clicking, I think it says something about this team and how it's about the defense. So Man. Once that offense gets going, sky's the limit.
That's right.
All right. So final.
We just got CEH back too. So we got to get him working into the offense even more. So I love it. I love where we at.
Yeah. We're getting healthy at the right time too. And like you said, the bye week came at a nice time, towards the end of the season where everyone, you know, can kind of get adjusted and take a little break. But okay. Last segment is the prediction segment. This Sunday, the Las Vegas Raiders will travel to play our Kansas City Chiefs for 1:00 kickoff. When the Chiefs played the Raiders a few weeks ago, obviously there was a 41-14 domination. Really the last time the offense kind of looked, you know, somewhat of what we've seen before. But that was also, obviously, defense played their asses off. But Chiefs are currently a 9-point favorite at home this week. What are your score predictions and who do you guys have?
I'm going 28-17. Chiefs. 28-17.
Oh, that's it? Oh. I'm going to go 24-20.
Any reasons behind your scores?
Mine?
Yeah.
I just think that you got to – even when we played the Raiders back and you know, kicked the crap out of them, I think they're a really good team. They got a lot of great players. They were just a team that was coming off of a lot of bad shit for whatever, you know, words you want to use.
Yeah.
They've kind of figured out themselves going forward from here. Had a bad loss this weekend, and not trying to defend anything with them. I just think that they're a team that's rediscovering themselves, and they will play a better game against. I just think that we'll beat them, just not as bad as we did the game, the first game we played.
I'm looking right now at three tubs by Patrick passing and one rushing by CEH. I think we kind of get back into the swing of things offensively. doing some things. I'm looking at Josh Gordon getting two catches, you know, at least two. But I think also, as far as what they've done, I think our defense kind of got their tally. We know what they got. They bring in Waller back, who's still – he's beat up. He's banged up. You stop the run, so all of a sudden you got Renfrow, you got the other guy. I can't even think of his name. But to me, you do it, you got him. So that's why I don't believe they're going to make any more than 17 points. I mean, our defense, like I said, has been keeping on to 20 points, so that's what it's going to be.
Do you see them following the game plan that Denver kind of went against us with the kind of using Javonte or using Josh Jacobs in the way that Denver used Javonte Williams? Because I don't think
he's been hurt enough. I don't think he's healthy enough for them to utilize him that much. I think they're going to depend on Carr. Right. But yeah, well, I wouldn't. If I was a Raiders, I'd at least run him as much as I could.
And they're without Kenyon Drake, so it really will be Josh Jacobs pretty much the entire time, with Peyton Barber spelling him a little bit.
Right. It's not enough. Ain't enough.
No.
Yeah. And plus, I mean, I think I saw one of the press conferences today. Someone said that Coach Reed remembers what the Raiders pulled on them last year when they won in Arrowhead. You know, they had the buses drive around the stadium a few times. So there's definitely something.
That was a big comment after we beat them out there in Oakland, though.
Was it?
Yeah, I read that a few times of, you know, them driving the bus around, and as soon as we beat them in Vegas, like how we should do the same.
I say after we beat them, man, drive around the stadium a couple times after this. Let them keep. we're gonna take this trip around here one more time. So get them, Bussy. We got Bussy. Is it Bussy? We pay Bussy, right? Get them, Bussy. Drive them around a couple times after they lost. So.
All right. Well, that does it for us. Thanks for tuning in to Sheep Concerns, presented by Bet Online. Hopefully, the score predictions from JD and E are correct. Hopefully, it's really a 41-14, kind of a sequel to what we did a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I'd love that, too.
I'd love that. Nice blowout in KC.
E, duh, $20. Josh Gordon gets at least two catches. $20 right here. All right. Take your bet.
All right. Gotcha.
All right. Good deal.
And also, there's another bet that you guys had that I just took a look at before the show.
I don't want to hear it right now.
You know what it is.
The Ravens.
I gotta go.
Yeah. He knows.
We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah. Bye.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.